Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Catherine Murphy. Today, we're in Townsville.
Let's just get some ambience, or do they like us talking?
With Amy Remakis.
Where are we, Amy?
We are on the Strand in Townsville, one of God's greatest gifts to the greatest nation on earth, Queensland.
She went up with Mike Bowers to find out why Herbert, the seat Townsville sits in, is the most marginal seat in Australia.
What I found is that people are pretty resigned about their political situation. 37 votes turned the election last time, and they still haven't made up their mind 3 years later. It's still 50-50.
Amy here is speaking to our wonderful producer, Miles Martignoni.
Can you tell me the story of Townsville? What would help us understand why people are voting the way they are there now?
Townsville has sort of always been built as the second capital of Queensland. And a lot of that is to do with geography, because Queensland is too big just to have one major centre. When you've got a population that lives as far across the state as what Queensland does, you kind of need a major centre up the top as well as a major centre down south. Otherwise, the whole place doesn't work. And that was really set up for Townsville, you know, when in the 19th century, when Queensland was a booming agricultural powerhouse, then we moved into sort of a mining sector boom, where Townsville again was like the main focal point of that. So everything kind of funneled through Townsville. That's where the port was, that's where the money was.
I came to Townsville when I was about 10 or 11 years of age, and from the west, from Mount Isa, and grew up here.
Nanette Raddick is the Katters candidate, a school teacher. She's not who you'd usually expect to be standing for the Katters party.
It was prosperous. There were apprenticeships going, there were jobs, there was stuff for young people to do. I just remember things like the Willows Water World. I remember the drags and, you know, Brandon, the racetrack, and the whole, it was, had a vibrancy. And, I finished my high schooling here and university here and, did stuff in the north and just loved it.
You used to have like the major financial institutions of the world paid money to build their banks there because there was so much money just coursing through Townsville. So everyone from the west, a little bit further north, a little bit further south, they all converged on Townsville, and it just kind of made it this real economic powerhouse.
And then I went away for a while and come back. And now I see a Townsville that's very different.
When Queensland's rocks and crop economy started to falter, Townsville was really the bellwether for that. So what you saw happen was all of this money kind of suddenly stopped, and Townsville stopped knowing what it was there for.
I see a Townsville that's probably in quite an economic slump, if you want to put it politely. If you wanted to be harsh, I see, 17.5% youth unemployment. I see almost double national average unemployment. I see people struggling to pay their electricity bills. I see the price of food, in some instances, markups like 300%. It's just crazy, and people are doing it tough. There are a lot of poor people in this city.
So tell me about the people of Townsville. What are they like?
The people of Townsville have a pretty unfair reputation as being rednecks, and that is something that's probably extended to Queensland as a whole, to be honest. As a Queenslander, I hear that a lot. And yes, we created Pauline Hanson and Clive Palmer and Bob Catter, but we've also created a lot of good as well. And they're not anti-environmental. They're not like pro-mining, to the extent of everything else, because they're on the gateway to the Great Barrier Reef. They probably understand a lot of the impacts more than anyone else. State Labor, the state Labor government there, were the ones who nixed the NAIF loan for the Adani train line. They said, no, we're not going to accept the money, which stopped the train line. State Labor still won 3 seats in Townsville, which was seen as being a complete improbability. And they won those seats because people care about health, they care about education, they care about services. They don't necessarily just care only about mining. And it's hard to explain, again, what it's like being that far away from major centres. I mean, Western Sydney is not that different from Sydney because it's fairly close, you know, like the populations might be different, but in terms of resources and infrastructure, they're not too far away from the centre. Same with Victoria. A Victorian country town is still only a couple of hours away from Melbourne. When you get to Queensland, you're looking at 17 hours to pop down south. It's a pretty long drive. So that does change the people, but they're not rednecks. They're just different. And they care about their community. They care about what's happening to them. They care about their kids. And they probably do it a lot more insular than a lot of people would necessarily recognised because they've always just had to count on themselves.
So this kind of brings me to the question of how do people in Townsville and Queensland relate to politics?
I think that they relate to politics by disengaging a lot. I think that they feel like there isn't anyone who represents them. In fact, everyone that I spoke to, Labor, Liberal, Nationals, Clive Palmer, One Nation, Fraser Anning, they all said the same thing, that, you know, there's no one representing them, there's no one who's a voice for them.
The future of Australia is in the country.
I'm Bill Shorten. My wife Chloe and I want the best future for our kids and everyone else's too.
With bold ideas and Aussie innovation.
We live in the best country in the world, but our future depends on a strong economy.
And that,
we need the voice of the national,
has meant that a lot of people have just switched off. Which means that the loudest voices,
it's a no-brainer. I don't know why the governments are not doing it,
often get their message across the best.
Please think carefully when you cast your vote about who's really going to fight for you and what we need to change in this country.
Because if you're not reading the papers, if you're not watching the news, if you're not talking politics with your mates because you're so used to being disappointed and everything is just kind of falling down or nothing is getting better, then you just tend to go, oh, well, that person's shouting the loudest and you know what? I kind of agree with them. Things are pretty shitty.
We're not afraid to stand up for you and your family. Australians have voted over and over again for Liberal, Nationals and Labor for no result. Put Australia first. Together, we can achieve the extraordinary. Jobs, growth and prosperity. United Australia Party.
And that's the message that's getting across. That's why Clive Palmer is seeing a resurgence, despite the fact that Queensland Nickel, the biggest private employer in that region, went bust and had huge economic impacts on Townsville. There's been time that's gone past. People have just seen that nothing has changed for them, despite going to a Labor member for the first time in 20 years. For them, not a lot has changed. So they're just like, you know what? He's telling us that we have a right to be angry. And that's a message that they are listening to because it's a message that they're feeling. He's not telling them how to fix it. He's not even promising to fix it. He's just, like Pauline Hanson has done before him, like Donald Trump did in America, is giving voice to people who feel like they've been left behind. And one of the words that was used constantly when Bowers and I was up there was unjust, that it just feels unjust.
So is there a solution? Is there something political parties can do? Or is there something they're not doing? It just seems like they're moving between parties trying to find a solution, but none of them have it.
Yeah, I think the solution is to stop assuming that one size fits all. Because what works in Brisbane in terms of building infrastructure is not going to work in Townsville. When you have a government, a process which looks for the lowest cost tender, you can't have local companies that can compete on that level. And when industry has been, you know, decimated to the point that Townsville has seen it go down. You need the local businesses to be thriving in order for the community to be thriving, because Townsville is filled with people who went to the mines, who bought their homes in Townsville, who bought their cars in Townsville, and who spent their money in Townsville. Now they're having to go further and further west. So Julia Creek, which is further west. Eventually they get to Broome, which is no longer just a quick trip home. It's on the other side of the country. So that money isn't being spent in Townsville. And when you have giant conglomerate companies winning the infrastructure projects to build the roads and the stadiums and whatever else it is that Townsville will get out of this election, you're not putting money back into the community. I also think that there is yet to be a vision for Townsville beyond being a state and federal government town. So the state and federal government are now the largest employers in Townsville. It was a garrison town, it was a mining town, it was an agriculture town, but now what is Townsville? What does it stand for? What are governments doing for North Queensland as a identity-setting agenda? They haven't come up with that yet.
Okay, now we're recording.
We are recording, Miles. This is us in the hotel room. Catherine Murphy, Amy Remekis and Mike Bowers in Ridges, Townsville.
It is amazing that here we all are. Now, in my view, Herbert is probably the most interesting seat in this election campaign. So, Amy, what have we learned up here?
We've learned that in almost 3 years, nothing seemingly has changed for either of the major parties. And that's despite the state Labor government putting a lot of money into Townsville. And it's despite all of the visits that Bill Shorten has made to Townsville in support of Cathy O'Toole, the local member, and despite all of the attention that the federal government has spent on Townsville. Mm.
And Mike, because you've been on the road down and had a look in the electorate of Farrah, which is on the border of New South Wales, Victorian border. Now you've been in Herbert. What's your compare and contrast about if we had to describe the mood of voters right now? Is it homogenous? Is it different?
Well, look, the mood I would sum up as being no more business as usual in both electorates, really. You get the overwhelming impression. But down in Farrah, there are specific complaints. You know, the state government took 90% of my groundwater. They are specific. They are, and there's a visceral anger about lots of water issues, but they're all quite different depending on where you are in the electorate. Whereas up here, it's more a generic. You know, we need more jobs. They're generic sort of. We've missed out, and just driving down some of the streets, there's an awful lot of shops that are empty and for lease, and it looks physically, image-wise, like the town is struggling, and I think the general mood is it reflects that. But it just both electorates feel like it's no more business as usual. But it's very raw up here. You get a much rawer.
But you mean because people are angry, or
yeah, it just seemed a lot less filtered, I suppose. I think even down in Farrah, even though there was a lot of anger amongst the various groups, it was not sort of wild, sort of crazy anger and against specific groups or other people that are getting more than them or dole bludges or things like that. It was really directed at state and federal governments, whereas up here it was a blunderbuss of complaint that was just sprayed everywhere.
But, Amy, in this seat in particular, I mean, why I think it's one of the most interesting and potentially important sort of seats in the campaign is because of the sheer number of players here.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's 8 candidates in Herbert, which is kind of insane when you think about it. But the main players, other than the major party, is One Nation. It's the Palmer Party, United Australia Party, or whatever he's calling that now, and the Katter Australia Party. And that is going to have a pretty big impact, because who wins this seat has to win that protest vote somehow. They have to get it back to them. And I think what people probably outside of you know, North Queensland, like not just even Queensland, because I think the Southeast would have trouble understanding this too, is the resurgence of the Palmer vote here, given his history. I mean, Queensland Nickel was the region's biggest employer outside of government, and it folded, and that had a huge impact on people.
The view of people here that I've heard say, well, it's not his fault, it was his brother-in-law's, that really surprised me, because I thought that what happened to Queensland Nickel would have been game over for Clive Palmer in this part of the world, and there seems to have been a very short attention span.
Yeah, well, I had a conversation with one of the folks out at a Shorten event that we were at, and I asked this fellow about Clive Palmer because for the reasons both of you have outlined, but also because of his political history in Canberra, he wasn't exactly a...
Well, he didn't turn up.
Well, wasn't exactly a stellar performance, right? But this chap said to me, well, look, yeah, all that's true, but the thing Townsville likes about Clive is that he gets his wallet out.
Mm-hmm.
That if we need something done, if there's a fundraising needed in the community, something for a particular project, whatever, Clive's always got his wallet out, and people in Townsville remember that. So it's kind of weird how they remember that and not some other bits. But anyway, but just on preferences for people who haven't really followed this seat closely and don't understand the dynamic about preferences and how it'll play out. So we have, as you said, a One Nation candidate. We have a Palmer candidate and a bunch of others, as well as obviously the major parties. But it's difficult, isn't it, for the major parties because both the One Nation voters and the Palmer voters don't necessarily follow how to vote cards, do they?
No, they don't.
So let's explain that for people who don't understand that.
Well, I mean, like this seat was won on the back of preferences, you know, back in 2016. You know, there was a big vote to One Nation and a lot of that flowed back to Labor, which is counterintuitive for a lot of people because we know what Pauline Hanson thinks about Labor. We know that what One Nation voters think about Labor. But when they walk into that ballot booth, they don't necessarily sit there with the how to vote card and go, okay, I'm going to follow this. There's not the resources either here to, you know, for the minor parties to have those how to vote cards handed out. So they vote so much on emotion here. It is so much about feeling. There are going to be a bunch of people who are going to say, you know, Palmer, One Nation, Cat is Australia number one, and then it'll be their feeling, like which of the candidates they like, their likability that gets the number two. And that is going to be what gets the major party across the line here.
Thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Thank you, as always, to Miles and to Hannah for production. Thank you to Amy and to Mike for such a fun trip up north. Don't forget, if you love the pod, to tell your friends too about the back catalogue, the fantastic back catalogue we are now assembling as a consequence of this election. Don't know about Bill Shorten? Listen to the Bill Shorten episode. Don't know why everyone's banging on about water buybacks? Listen to the water buybacks episode. Don't know why everyone's banging on about the electorate of Farah? Well, listen to Gabby Chan on that. It's superb. The election, of course, thunders into the final closing stretch. We have a Labor policy launch this weekend, followed by the Liberal campaign launch. It's really going to accelerate from here on in. So pack your snacks. We're off to the races.